This morning I want that we think what it means to truly believe. What does it mean to truly believe in the words of Jesus? And that's what is on my heart this morning. I want you to turn with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. You know, some of the incidents that John records in his gospel, there's a lot of hostility that Jesus faced with the religious leaders of his day. And hostility and opposition came primarily from religious people, and that's how it is today. So, if you read the Gospel of John, you notice much of that in John chapter 5 and John chapter 7. And then, you know, it says at the end of John chapter 7, everyone went to his home, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. And I believe that he saw need to seek the Father for what was going to happen the next day. And the next day, early in the morning, John chapter 8, I believe, is the great controversy that Jesus faced with religious people. There are some things that we can learn from there. And it's all started with early in the morning. That's what it says in John chapter 8, verse 2. Early in the morning, he came again into the temple. And all the people were coming to him, and he sat down and began to teach them. And the scribes and the Pharisees just hounded him, and they brought this woman, you know the story, we're not going to take time to look at it. But they brought this woman who was caught in adultery, according to them, in the very act. And it says there that in verse 6, when they asked Jesus, said, this woman has been caught in adultery in the very act. So Moses commanded that we should stone such women. What do you say? And it says they were saying this, testing him so that they might have grounds for accusing him. And Jesus stooped down with his finger wrote on the ground. You know the story. And they persisted on getting an answer from him. And then he said, he would, without sin, throw the first stone. And they all went out one by one, beginning from the oldest. And just the woman was left in the center alone with Jesus. And Jesus said to her in verse 11, and Jesus said in verse 10, straightening up, Jesus said to her, woman, where are they? Where are your accusers? Did no one condemn you? And she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, I do not condemn you either. Go from now on, sin no more. And then we have these words in verse 12. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. He said this immediately. You know, he sent that woman free. And he said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus brought light into that woman's life, and he sent her away free. The Pharisees were ready to stone her and finish her off. And we see a lot there what it means to follow Jesus as the light of the world. If we follow him, we will not walk in darkness, he said. We'll have the light of life. The first words that God spoke in the very beginning of creation was, let there be light. Those were the very first words that God spoke, and there was light, and God saw that the light was good. And the very first separation that God made was light from darkness. He separated the light from darkness. And this is exactly what God does in our hearts, what God did in that woman's heart. My brothers and sisters, he brought light, he brought life into her life. And that's exactly what God does for us when we come to him in repentance and faith. He brings light and life in our hearts when we come to him and humble ourselves and acknowledge our sin and repent, light comes in. That's what we read in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, "For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness," thinking of the beginning of creation, "is the one who has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And notice there, it says, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, not the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins is the beginning, it's the gate. But God has shone in your heart and mine, not just to give us the forgiveness of sins, but to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He wants to bring light and glory into our lives like He brought into that woman's life. He said, go and sin no more. And that's God's will for every last one of us who belong to Him, who belong to the family of God. Not just forgiveness of sins. He wants to bring the glory of God into our lives. Jesus said to Martha, you know, before He went to Lazarus, who was lying dead in the tomb for 4 days, Jesus said to her in John chapter 11 verse 4, He said, "Did I not say to you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" If you believe, you will not just get forgiveness of sins, but you will see the glory of God. He said to His disciples earlier in verse 4, He says, "This death of Lazarus is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified in it." That's God's purpose, my brothers and sisters. And I want this morning that we are gripped with that. That not just that we believe in the forgiveness of sins. Our sins have been forgiven. Praise God for that. We are part of the family of God. You know, we sing, "I'm on my way to heaven." Is that all? God wants to shine in your heart and mine. And that's why He brought us to repentance and faith, so that He can manifest the glory of God in your life and mine. We are all called to partake of the glory of God. And that's what Jesus said to Martha. "Did I not say to you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" And that's why Jesus is the light of the world. And like He said, if we follow Him, we have the light of life, not a way of life. You know, many people speak about a way of life, but Jesus is the light of life. He came to give life. And He came to give it abundantly, that I can live my life on this earth in the abundant life that Jesus gives. And that's not just theory, that I can experience it. And that's what I want you to see, that's what it means to really believe. The Pharisees, on the other hand, were ministers of death. They were ready to condemn this woman, ready to stone her. They came with their rules and regulations, and they were such legalists. They put burdens upon people, like Jesus said, that they were not willing to lift with one finger. That's what a legalist is, and that's what it means to be a Pharisee. Do we put burdens on others, especially those who live with us 24/7, that we're not willing to lift with one finger? We have our rules and regulations. Why? Because I have to preserve my testimony. I have to preserve I want my children to behave in a certain way. I want my wife to behave in a certain way. My husband should behave in a certain way. I have a testimony to preserve. We put burdens upon others, just like the Pharisees, that they are not willing to lift with one finger. Jesus is the light of the world, my brothers and sisters. And He says, "He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And that's what He gave to this woman. He gave her life. He didn't give her a way of life. She went away free. She would have been dead if it were left to the Pharisees. But because Jesus was there, she got life. And that's how it is. If Jesus is in the church, we get life. If we have a bunch of Pharisees, we'll be condemned with no time. But praise God that in 38 years that Jesus has been in the midst of this church. And we thank God for all those who follow Him, who don't walk in darkness, who have the light of life, and they give that life to others. There are Pharisees even in our midst, who put burdens upon others, who have their rules and regulations. They have to keep to the code of conduct of CFC. I belong to CFC. I hope that they'll become fewer and fewer. That there'll be those who follow Jesus, who is the light of life, will not walk in darkness. And I want you to see there, that's not all that we are looking at. You know, the Pharisees said, you are testifying about yourself, your testimony is not true. Verse 13 of John chapter 8. Jesus answered and said to them, even if I testify about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going, but you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I am not judging anyone. And even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone in it, but I and the Father with me. And Jesus said there in verse 24, we go further down there, he said, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am. You know, you see the whole controversy there. He is in italics, which means it's not in the original. He says, unless you believe that I am God, God is the great I am. Unless you believe I am He, you will die in your sins. And that's the whole controversy. Then he said in verse 28, Jesus said in verse 28, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am. There it is again. When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am. That God has come down and manifest Himself in the person of Jesus Christ. He's not a Son of God, but God Himself has come down. He's not like Hinduism teaches an avatar. He is God Himself who has come down. Unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. And when you lift up the Son of Man, you will know that I am, and that I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father who sent me. And it says there, this is what I want you to see, and as he spoke these things, many came to believe in him. So, verse 31, and this is what I want that we think of this morning. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Those are the words of Jesus. He has said these things. He says, as he spoke these things, many came to believe in him. And then he said, now he's speaking to those who came to believe in him, and that's to you and I also. If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And so, I want you to see that first of all, my brothers and sisters, to continue, first of all, God's word must have a place in your heart and mind. Not just enough that I receive the forgiveness of sins. You will see there what it means to truly believe. Not enough that I know my sins are forgiven. God's word must find a place in my heart and your heart. That's the light that shines in our hearts, that dispels the darkness, that gives us life. God's word must find a place, just like, you know, God looked for a place, Joseph looked for a place for the physical life of the Son of God to be born on this earth. And he found none in Bethlehem. There was no room in the inn. And that's how it is today. God is looking for a place in men's hearts to manifest the glory of God, to manifest who he is through our lives, not just give us the forgiveness of our sins. But sadly, he doesn't find too many. So God's word must find a place in our hearts. In John chapter 8 and verse 37, you know, he said there, you know, they said to him, "We are Abraham's descendants," verse 33, "haven't yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it you say you will become free?" And Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. A slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son does remain forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." He said, "I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me, because my word," this is it, "my word has no place in you." My word has no place in you. If you turn back to John chapter 5, here's another incident, John chapter 5. Here again is the controversy. Religious people. And I tell you, our opposition today is with religious people, even within the church, my brothers and sisters. And it says there, in verse 37, Jesus, "And the Father who sent me, he has testified of me," John chapter 5, 37. "You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. You do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe him whom he has sent." So you see this, that how important it is that God's word has a place in our hearts first. Finds a place in our hearts. God's seed, that's the word. God's seed, the word that's sperm, is put into your heart and mind. Not just like get a ticket to heaven, but the life of God. That seed is sown in our hearts. That life that can bring forth the glory of God, my brothers and sisters. This has gripped my heart so much. And it's excited me that this is my calling here on this earth. And this is what it means, like I said, to truly believe. And it says there, "You do not have his word abiding in you. For you do not believe him whom he sent." You search the scriptures. They read their Bibles. Because you think that in them you have eternal life. "It is these that testify about me, and you are unwilling to come to me so that you might have life." That's the problem. And that's the problem with a lot of God's people today. Probably that's a lot of problem with many of us here. We search the scriptures, we read the Bible. Some people pride themselves, "I read the Bible this year, 2013. I thank God that I do that as a discipline. And I've done it this year. But at the end of this year, I was thinking, even last night, "Lord, I've gone through the Bible, but has the Bible gone through me?" Like Brother Zach has often said. Has the Bible gone through me? You search the scriptures, you young people look for something to share on Wednesdays. Is that all? Is the word that you share going through you during the week? Is it something that you're gripped with, or is it something that you want to impress others with? And this is the problem with these people. They search the scriptures because they thought that in them they find eternal life. But Jesus said, "It's these that testify of me, you're unwilling to come to me. I'm the one who lights up the darkness. I'm the one who gives you life, and you're not willing to come to me." So I want you to see, my brothers and sisters, God's word must have a place in your heart and mind. It must abide in my heart. That is the beginning of believing. In John chapter 1 verse 12, you know, John says there, "As many as would receive him, to them he had given the right or the power to become children of God, even to them who believe in his name." As many as received him. Not that I raise my hand in a meeting and I accept him. That he's not talking about that. I received him for who he is. The I Am, who's come to save me from my sin, who's come to put into my life the glory of God. "As many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God, to become sons and daughters." That's our calling. That's our birthright. I hope you see it. Not just to be forgiven our sins. Not just to belong to a church. My birthright is to partake of the glory of God. And I'm a son of God. You're a daughter of God, sisters. And remind yourself. And it all begins by letting God's word find a place in my heart. Not just once at conversion, but all through my life. In the times when God speaks to me, that His word, and the Lord says, and I am reminded of a word in some situation, some temptation, but then I have a choice there to reject it, that God's word does not find that place in my heart, and I want to do my own will, I want to do my own thing. To that degree I suffer. To that degree the glory of God does not come into my life. And so that's the first thing that we need to know, we need to have, and that is to give place to God's word in our lives. Then we can continue. That's what Jesus said. If you continue, you go back to John chapter 8. If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And to continue means that God's word must find a place in your heart and mind. And many begin, but they don't continue. They start well, but they don't continue. And many continue for some time, but they don't go to the end. They don't finish the race. They give up. We are to continue to the end. In many scriptures, we don't have time to say, if we hold fast our assurance to the end. Jesus said, those who continue in love to the end will be saved. That's what it means. That's the life God calls. I will finish. I don't give up in between, whatever happens. And God will see to it. That's the good work He has begun in us. He'll continue it. He'll finish it. He doesn't do. Look at creation. Everything is finished so perfectly. You think God, who has begun a good work in your heart and mind, will leave it unfinished, my brothers and sisters? He will finish it. But I have to cooperate. Creation doesn't have a will. So God, very easy, God made everything perfect. But you and I have a will. And we have to cooperate with God, so that what He's done in creation, that we see all around us, He will do in my life. He'll bring it to perfection. That is our calling, my brothers and sisters. And like I said, that seed is sown in our hearts and it takes root. That's the second thing. God's word takes root in your heart. And if it finds a place in my heart, that seed, just like the seed of a man, you know, of the husband who goes and meets that cell, and life comes there, and that life is imparted in the womb of that woman, and that life 9 months later is born. Exactly. That's what happens in your life and mine. God puts a seed in your heart and mine. And if I cooperate with Him and nourish that seed, it'll grow. It'll become a life just like that baby is born. I will see the glory of God. Did I not tell you, Jesus said to Martha, she was only thinking of the resurrection. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. And when that happens, then God's word takes root in our hearts, just like that seed, you know, meets the cell of the woman, that egg, and imparts life there, and a life is born later. That's what we see in John chapter 1, verse 18. You know, it's all there in scripture, my brothers and sisters. That's what we see. It says there in John chapter 1 and verse 18. You can look at it. In the exercise of His will, He brought us forth by the word of truth. You know, the picture there is a conception. In the exercise of His will, He brought us forth by the word of truth so that we would be a certain kind of first fruits among His creatures. God has brought us forth by the word of truth so that we can become a certain first fruits, a certain kind of first fruits among His creatures. And James speaks much about this, not just being hearers of the word, but doers. He says that don't be a hearer. It's like looking at your face in the mirror and then for going away and forgetting what kind of person you were. But be a doer of the word. And to be a doer of the word, it all depends on what you and I hear, and how we hear. You know, that is what Jesus said there in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, you can turn to it, verse 24. And He was saying to them, take care, listen to it, take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you, and more will be given you besides. Take care what you listen to. That's a good word to remember, my brothers and sisters. When we switch on the TV, when we are reading the newspapers, when we are listening to somebody, take care what you listen to. A lot of people breathe unbelief. You listen to them, it's unbelief. And you spend a little time with them, then you're also brought into unrest. Like the fumes, you know, that lorry before you, the black fumes, and it's terrible. Some people are like that. They breathe out unbelief. Take care what you listen to. You listen to those who speak unbelief, you will become like them. And the other thing that Jesus said in Luke chapter 8, and verse 17 and 18, He says, nothing is hidden. Luke chapter 8, 17 and 18. For nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not be known and come to light. So take care how you listen. These are the words of Jesus. Not only take care what you listen to, but take care how you listen. Nothing is hidden that will not come to light. And if I want light to shine in my life, that my whole body becomes full of light, I need to take care what I listen to. I need to take care how I listen. And He says that for whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. And Jesus illustrated that again. We don't have time to look at it in the parable of the sower. We've heard it so often in this church, if you're coming here. And the seed that fell on the wayside, the seed that fell on the rock, the seed that fell among the thorns, the rock, you know, people receive the word with joy, they don't continue. The seed that fell among the thorns grew up and choked the seed. And Jesus referred to the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, desire for other things. These are the thorns that choke the word and it doesn't continue. It doesn't bring forth fruit. Then He speaks about the seed that fell on good ground. Some brought 30%, 60%, and 100%. All depending on how much degree of honesty. So those who hear with an honest and a good heart. So I have 30 degree of honesty and goodness, I'll bring forth only 30 degrees. If it's 60 degrees, I'll bring forth 60. If it's 100%, I'll bring forth 100%. Those who receive the word in an honest and a good heart. I hope we have many honest and good hearts this morning. Not just 30 and 60, but 100%. The seed will bring forth 100%. And that's how it must be in our lives. Many people are happy to hear good preaching. They want to hear good preaching. They want to hear good messages. They switch on the TV. They want to hear good messages. A lot of it is chaff. Doesn't help people into a godly life. And even people want to listen to godly preaching. And they come to hear godly preaching. You know, Herod liked to hear godly preachers. He wanted to hear Jesus in Luke chapter 9 and verse 9. You can look at it sometime. And Luke chapter 23 and verse 8. Herod wanted to see Jesus. He heard about him. And Felix, here's another man who loved good preaching. Felix was a governor. You know, and he kept Paul in custody. He used to send for him often because he liked listening to Paul. But when Paul spoke about righteousness and self-control and judgment, he became afraid and said, you know, go away, I'll send for you when it's more convenient. That's the problem with people. They want to hear good preaching. They want to hear godly preachers. Many people want to hear Brother Zach. But when the word touches their lives, their personal life, now they're up in arms. They're ready to justify and defend themselves. Oh, that's legalism. Your preaching works. When the word touches their lives, that's how it was with Herod, that's how it was with Felix. God's word must touch your life and mine and our hearts, my brothers and sisters. It must be affected. The preaching of Jesus, when He preached, He touched people's lives. And when I share God's word, it must touch people's lives and not give them something, you know, that they are very happy to hear. God loves you. Yeah, that's good. There are times that we can speak about the love of God, but is that all? There's more to it. And Jesus said that if you continue in my word, you'll become disciples of mine. God's word must touch your life and mine. Every meeting I come to, when we meet one another, I have something to give that will touch the life of others. Do you pray, Lord, there's someone coming to see me. Somebody needs encouragement. Somebody needs some help. Somebody needs some counsel, some advice. Is it only the elders who have to give that? You can give it. You can pray and say, Lord, I have nothing, like that man who had nothing to set before that friend who came at night. And he goes to another friend and, you know, didn't stop bugging him till he came out. Even though he said, I'm asleep with my children. He wouldn't stop. He said, no, there's somebody in need. That's how we must go to God. I've gone to God like that many times, every time I need. Not just Sunday mornings when I have to share the word. When people come for help and counsel, Lord, I have nothing to give. And all my past experience and all my whatever I think of is of no use now. I want something fresh. I want fresh bread from the oven, Lord. That's what I want to set before this one in need. I don't want to send him away empty way. I don't want to send her away empty way, discouraged and down. Give me something. And he will give, my brothers and sisters. And we, you and I, must be able to give to each other something that will touch each other's lives. I hope you'll be challenged to take it. Don't leave it to the elders. Don't leave it to the brothers who help us. You, every one of you, can give something, can give bread to the others, fresh from God. Because you hear from God. If God's word finds a place in your heart, if God's word is taking root in your heart. The other thing, the third thing I want you to see there what we read in 31 and 32. He says, Jesus said there in 32, you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. When God's word finds a place in my heart and it takes root, it will lead me to know the truth that sets free. And you've heard in this church, you've heard Brother Zach say this in very powerfully once, that if you read that as reality, that's what it means. You know, truth can be a very vague thing, but reality, that's what truth is. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life, what he was saying, I am the way, I am the way, I am the reality and life. And so if I want unreality to disappear from my life, Jesus said that you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. If you continue in my word, find a place in your heart, it takes root, you will come to know the truth, you will come to know reality, and it will set you free. Free from what? We read there, we have read just now. You know, they said, we are not slaves, we are Abraham's children. And Jesus said there, he says, everyone who commits sin, verse 34, is a slave of sin. That's the first thing you and I need to be free from, to be free from sin. And only God's word and the Holy Spirit can do that, that I enter into reality. I stop being a hypocrite. All hypocrisy goes from my life. That's why the Pharisees got incensed with Jesus. He was reality. They had reality in their midst. They had all the good preachers among them and all the Bible teachers, but reality was absent. And that's what we need. We need those who can not just share God's word powerfully, but in whose lives we see reality. I thank God that only in this church, there were a few outside when as a full-time worker, very, very few. But I tell you, I thank God that ever since I've been in this church, I've seen others in whose life there's reality. That has encouraged me. I hope it's been true of you also, and that's why you want to be in this church. Reality. You will know reality, and reality will set you free. I don't have to be superficial. I don't have to be artificial. I can be myself. How many times I've never tried to tell people, be yourself. Stop being somebody else. I said to young brothers and young sisters, don't try and impress somebody. When you're looking for a partner, why do you have to impress somebody? Be yourself, brother. Just be yourself. You may hear things Brother Zach says to you, you may hear things Brother Newton says to you, or Ian says to you, but you be yourself. According to the level of faith, don't try to be something that you're not. Then, when you get into marriage, you're disillusioned and find that, you know, the girl finds that you're not just what you claim to be. Or the boy finds you're not claimed what you want to be. We all have our ideals. But I want to say that if reality has come into your life and mine, my brothers and sisters, I will not be afraid to be myself. The glory of God is manifested when we are willing to be ourselves. It's not all one, you know, the picture of the New Jerusalem of precious stones. They're all different hues. I'll never forget that picture. Many years ago, 38 years ago, that's the church. And he was saying that the glory of God had emanated from this building. Didn't have all white, and it was beautiful colors. Each stone giving off a color. That's the manifold wisdom of God that Paul speaks about in Ephesians. That I give off a color, my hue. I don't try to be Brother Zach. I don't try to be Newton. I don't try to be X, Y, or Z. I am Ian Robson. God has made me this way. And reality, I thank God with all my heart. Reality has come into my life, I would say, since I joined this church. Before that, it was unreality. Superficiality, hypocrisy. That's what made me throw my hands up with full-time Christian work. That's what made me leave the denomination. I was tired of it. And one time, it drove me to suicide. That's what unreality. My brother and sister, if you would seek after reality, you will know reality, and reality will set you free because Jesus is reality. Weak amens are here. But I hope that you have faith and believe that. That's what it means to believe. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I praise God for that. I praise God with all of my heart the day I turn to the Lord. Like it says in 2 Corinthians in chapter 3, verse 15. I praise God that under the old covenant, I was living under the old covenant, the veil was there. And many people, sadly, even under the new covenant, even after hearing, you know, so clearly in this church, I've never heard anyone preach so clearly about the new covenant than Brother Zach. Even after hearing, I believe there are people sitting here with a veil over their hearts. But I want to encourage you this morning, turn to the Lord, like it says there. When a man turns to the Lord, when a woman turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away, because the veil is removed in Christ. And the Lord is the Spirit. Whatever your doctrine, whatever denominational background, the Lord is the Spirit. And you turn to the Lord, you turn to the Holy Spirit, throw away all that garbage that you received Him and you were baptized in the Holy Spirit at your conversion. No, it's very clear in Scripture. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. It's very clear in Scripture that the Holy Spirit comes upon you, changes you, makes you into another man, makes you into another woman. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When a man, when a woman turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is that word again, reality. Emancipation from all bondage. I am not a slave, I am a son, you're a daughter. That's our calling, my brothers and sisters. That is what, this is liberty, this is the freedom God has won for us through Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Only the Holy Spirit can bring reality into your life. I want to say that to you. I want to say that to you if you hear this in faith and before this year is out, say, Lord, I want to know I am baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to enter 2014 unless you baptize me in the Holy Spirit in fire. Because that will bring reality in your life. It's brought in my reality in my life. And I pray to God that that's how it will be for us. And for that to happen, my brothers and sisters, we must love the truth. We must love the truth. If we are to have reality in our lives, you looked at it many times, but I turn you there to 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. We must receive a love for the truth. And what truth is that? It's not doctrinal truth, it's the truth about myself. You know, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, it speaks there about the Antichrist, whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because, listen to this, they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. I need to love the truth for to be saved. And it says further then, verses 11 and 12, for this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe the lie. What is false, it says there. And if you have a margin, it says literally the lie, in order that all may be judged who did not believe the truth. If I don't love the truth, I will not believe it. If I don't love the truth, then I need the baptism in the Holy Spirit, I will not believe. I will not see my needs. And we cannot believe unless we receive a love for the truth. Such people, you know, are candidates for deception. And there are many of them today in Christendom. Now I don't know if there are any among us. If you don't love the truth, particularly when you are told the truth about yourself, when God speaks to you or you hear it from a godly person, that you don't get offended. That's the fourth thing I want you to see. We will never get offended when we are told the truth about ourselves. John chapter 8, go back to the words of Jesus. Verse 40, it says, Jesus said that, as it is, you're seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. This is what they wanted to do, these religious people. He says, you're seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth. And do you know that? We have seen that happen, that those who are told the truth, you know, they get angry. They were angry because they told the truth about themselves. And, you know, that's as good as murder. We know that. Jesus said that. And this is what these people wanted to do. He says, they wanted to kill him. He says, this Abraham did not do. And they went on. He says, we are not born of fornication. Verse 41, we have one Father, God. If God were your Father, you would love me. I proceeded forth and I come forth from God. I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil. Jesus was very straightforward. He didn't care. He wanted to save these people. He's going to die for them. You're of your father, the devil. You wanted to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning. Does not stand in the truth because there's no truth, no reality in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature. For he's a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, I speak reality, you do not believe me. Powerful words, my brothers and sisters. We'll never get offended when we are told the truth. If we are really sons and daughters of God. If we are really true sons and daughters of Abraham. These people, they claimed all kinds of things. We're not illegitimate children. But Jesus said, your father is the devil. That's the truth. He was a liar from the beginning. Who's your father, my brothers and sisters? Who's my father? God, my heavenly father, could I say, you're my father? Then I would love the truth. I will never get offended. It's one of the first things we learn when we come into the church, when we come to Jesus. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 9, it says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. It also refers to sisters, I hope, sisters. A brother or a sister offended is harder to be won than a strong city. I've seen that. Harder to be won. Easier to take a city than an offended brother and an offended sister. So what a dangerous thing. You know, when we don't love reality, we don't love the truth about ourselves, we will easily get offended. Matthew chapter 15, I want you to look at this in verse 12. It says that the disciples came and said to him, verses 12 and 13. The disciples came and said to Jesus, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard the statement? What was it he said? He didn't say anything much. He says, you know, they said that you don't wash your hands, you eat food, you don't wash your hands, unclean. Jesus said, it's not what goes into you, what comes out of you. That's what defiles a man. Just a little thing like that. And the Pharisees were offended, it says the disciples, when they heard this statement. But he answered and said, listen to this. Every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be uprooted. Let them alone. Yeah, that's the best thing we can leave for people who are offended. Leave them alone. Otherwise, it would become worse. It's not what goes in, Jesus said. It's what comes out that defiles a person. Judas got offended. Just a little statement when Jesus said to him, leave her alone. She's done a good thing. Why are you bothering her? He got offended. He went out with a plan to kill Jesus, to betray him. That's how it is, my brothers and sisters. That's what we see here. You know, when we get offended, murder comes into our hearts. The last thing I want you to see, that we will come to know God firsthand. In the verses 39, you know, Jesus said there, verse 54. Jesus said, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. If my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God, and you have not come to know him, but I know him. And if I say that I do not know him, I will be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. I will come to know God. That's a wonderful thing. All shall know me, from the least to the greatest. I will come to know God personally. I'll have a personal encounter with God. Jesus was able to say, he says, you don't know him, but I know him. And if I say I don't know him, I'll be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. What a wonderful thing, my brothers and sisters, to know God. I can know him. I don't need to know him through the elders. I can know him. I submit to authority. I am accountable. But I can know God personally. And I can pass that on to others. And that's the fifth thing I want you to see there. We come to know God firsthand. We have a personal encounter to him. I want you to see a word in the Samaritans, a great example there, John chapter 4. There's a revival here, you know, through that woman that Jesus met at the well, whom he promised living water, and he gave her living water. John chapter 4 and verse 39, it says there, from that city many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all the things that I have done. In verse 40, so when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they were asking him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of his word. There was a revival there. Just, you know, because of that one woman, she tasted living water. That's what happens when you and I receive the Holy Spirit. We give to others. A revival can happen in our homes, in our personal contacts with people. Verse 42, and they were saying to the woman, listen to this, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is indeed the Savior for ourselves. No longer what you have said. No longer what Brother Zach or Brother Newton or Ian say. We have heard for ourselves. We have seen for ourselves. We know this is the one. This is the Savior of the world. This is the I Am. I know God personally. My brother, what a day that will be. A day of rejoicing that you can say, I know God. I know him. If I say I don't know him, I'll be a liar. But I do know him. All shall know me. I want to encourage you in this year that's coming upon us, you know, that you will decide, I am going to know God. I'm going to know God and be able to help others also. So, we come to the question, what do you want to be, a believer? Or you want to become a disciple? If you want to be a disciple, then it's there in Jesus' word. If you continue in my word, he's saying those to those who believed him. If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. You'll know reality. and reality will set you free. If you decide to be a believer, you know what can happen? Look at John chapter 8, the end of this, the end of all that we have looked at. In verse 15, in verse 59, John chapter 8. You know, Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am." There's a word. "Therefore they picked up stones to throw at him." They picked up stones to throw at him. Who were these? Believers. Those who believed his word there in John chapter 31. Believers. Not the other religious people joined them, I'm sure. But those who believed him. When he said, if you continue, you want to be a disciple, continue in my word. And then all that controversy there. The end, they picked up stones. And that's how it is today, my brothers and sisters. Jesus said, the world will hate you because they hated me first. They hate me without a cause. And those who don't give room for God's word in their hearts, those who don't let God's word take root in their hearts, those who don't want reality in their hearts, and to really be free, they will hate us. Because they hated Jesus before. And, you know, if you look at the one more word there in John chapter, in Luke chapter 16, in verse 19, you know, when he went into Nazareth in the synagogue, he closed the book and gave it, you know, after he had read from the prophet Isaiah, and then he said, you know, today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And all, it says there, verse 20, all were speaking well of him and wondering at the gracious words which were falling from his lips. I want you to see this and let it speak to us that I determine I'll never just be a believer, I will be a disciple. And verse 28, you know, verse 22, all were speaking well of him, wondering at the gracious words which are falling from his lips. And all, it says in verse 28, and all the people in the synagogue were filled with rage. Before they were filled with appreciation and commendation and gratitude, now they are filled with rage. As they heard these things, because what did they, he speak to them? He said, there were many widows in Israel. But Elijah was not sent to them, he was sent to another widow outside of Israel. Many lepers in Israel. But, you know, it was Naaman who was healed. They got upset about it. You see how the word, you know, touches the lives of people and they get incensed, they get upset. All the people in the synagogue were filled with rage. As they heard these things, and they got up and drove him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill. They were going to push him off the hill. They were going to kill him in order to throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went his way. And Jesus said that we are not to be surprised that if we are treated that way, my brothers and sisters, because we are of God, we have God's word in us. And so, let us determine this morning. I've spoken at length because this has been on my heart and this is what God has gripped my heart with. I want to continue in God's word. I want to be a disciple, not a believer, not just a believer, a true believer in the true sense, like we saw. By letting God's word have a place in your heart, number one, by allowing it to take root so that it life comes by letting it lead me to reality and a reality that sets me free, and by entering into a life where I never get offended, no matter what, and where I can come to know God personally. That's our calling. That's what it means to truly believe. I hope you understand. Don't be in that crowd. Believers, are you a believer? I say, I'm a disciple. I hope that that's what you'll determine this morning. And I hope that the word you've heard this morning has found a place in your heart. And there's a glorious future. You will see the glory of God. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we thank you. You made things so plain to us. through your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came to give us life, life abundantly. We thank you that we can partake of the same glory that you partook of when you walked this earth. And you've given us your Spirit to that end. And so set us on this path, Lord, that we will see the glory of God, partake of it in our lives. We humble ourselves before you, Lord. Help us. Send your Spirit upon us, that as we enter a new year, it will be a new beginning for many, and it will be a higher dimension of life for many of us, Lord. Now we'll go from strength to strength and from glory to glory in 2014. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.